that the conference championship game will go away if there's an expanded playoff. Pistons guard Cade Cunningham will miss at least another week of action because of his collapsed lung. Pirates are calling up top prospect 19-year-old Connor Griffin in time for tomorrow's game against the Orioles. Twins on top of the Royals 1-0 right now in the bottom of the third in Kansas City.
Fox Sports update on KPRL brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, Wine Down Wednesday, and specials Thursday through Saturday. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your agribusiness update. Well, the EPA has finalized new renewable fuel standards that increase biofuel blending requirements and aim to strengthen domestic energy production. A federal announcement says the rule, part of the renewable fuel standard, sets new volume targets for 2026 and 27 and is expected to boost demand for ethanol, biodiesel, and other renewable fuels. Officials say these standards are designed to reduce reliance on foreign oil while supporting farmers and rural economies. Well, uncertainty surrounding the next farm bill continues as lawmakers remain divided on several key agricultural and nutrition policies. Members of Congress from both parties agree the need to update the farm programs, but disagreements over funding levels, nutrition assistance, and regulatory provisions have slowed progress. Reuters reports key sticking points include the future of the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, disaster aid funding, and proposals to expand year-round sales of E15. And Dairykind, the UC Davis Clear Center, and Alltech have collaborated to develop a pair of educational videos focused on clarifying what sustainability means within the cattle industry. The videos provide an accessible, science-based resource to help producers, industry professionals, and stakeholders better understand sustainability in cattle production. The videos are intended to serve as an educational tool that supports informed discussions, training efforts, and improved communications.
Fitzsimmons, Baltrish Angus invite to their annual production sale Monday, April 6th, northeast of Havre, Montana at the ranch. Selling 45 registered Angus bulls built for fertility, efficiency, and longevity. Featuring genetics from MC Cumber Tribute, Grigel Bottom Line, Shipwheel, Tadishi, and FBA Against the Grain. Also selling 15 open yearling heifers direct mates to the bulls in the sale. Lunch at noon, sale at 1 o'clock. Bid in person or online at FrontierLiveSale.com. Catalog and details at FBARanch.com.
Spring alternaria pressure can be a real issue for almond growers, but Alyssa's fungicide can help control it. How do I know that? Because I'm an almond grower, and that hammering sound isn't from a shop. That's the sound of Alyssa's fungicide hitting back against diseases. Hey, can you keep it down for a minute? With two powerful active ingredients, Alyssa's fungicide lays a strong foundation against alternaria, rust, and scab, delivering dependable, long-lasting residual control. Okay, you're good now. Always read and follow label directions.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with today's Agribusiness Update.
Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News Update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox Business Report.
A volatile trading session after President Trump toughens his Iran tone. Stocks pairing from bigger earlier losses on Strait of Hormuz reopening hopes. However, a surge in oil prices is fueling inflation fears. U.S. crude is spiking to nearly $112 a barrel, its highest level since June of 2022. Energy and tech are gaining while healthcare and industrials are lagging. And Tesla stock is down nearly 5%. The electric vehicle maker's first quarter deliveries fell short of Wall Street expectations amid a challenging EV landscape. And Bed Bath & Beyond will be buying storage and organized retailer The Container Store and its brands Elfa and Closet Works in a deal worth $150 million. The Container Store has more than 100 locations, which will be jointly branded as The Container Store and Bed Bath & Beyond. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Most investments today feel like second jobs. Real estate? You're a landlord. Stocks? You're a day trader. Crypto? You're a full-time researcher. You've got a life to live. Your investment should help you live it. That's why more Americans are choosing gold. Noble Gold has helped thousands protect their future with real physical gold. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com to get your free wealth protection kit. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
American Legends next on KPRL. Brought to you by Davis Body Shop.
Having previously reported on some youthful criminals guilty of the most brutal and sadistic crimes, I thought you might like to hear about some other kind of kids. I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by K-Brush Concrete, serving the entire Central Coast for more than a decade. Call Kevin at K-Brush Concrete, 423-4033.
You may recall I reported a while back on a corporation called Kidco that was having a hassle with the state of California over a matter of sales taxes. Kidco, duly incorporated, has a 12-year-old president, a 9-year-old vice president, and a secretary age 11. The latter two are sisters of President Dickie Cessna, and the 14-year-old treasurer is a half-sister. Kidco was engaged in picking up the manure from Mr. Cessna's stable and applying it to a nearby golf course and several private lawns for fertilizer. The state claimed Kidco owed retroactive sales taxes. Kidco's defense was that a sales tax had already been paid on the material before it was fed to the horses. They didn't see why it should be paid again. Now Kidco is facing another battle, this time with the State Department of Agriculture. It seems that Kidco branched out and has developed another profitable business, killing gophers. To those of you who don't know the California pocket gopher, he's an energetic tunnel digger who can turn a decent-looking lawn into an ugly dirt pile almost overnight. Well, the state is demanding that the children take and pass the test for a pest control license, and that they reveal the secret formula for the poison they're using to kill the gophers. As President Dickie Cessna said in a letter to his state senator, quote, "The test is too hard for us little kids, even if we are pretty smart in business," unquote. And he added, "We do a good service killing gophers and don't do nothing to hurt birds or dogs or other animals. Gosh, all we want to do is work and make some money so we can go to college when we get older," unquote. Of course, the state's legitimate concern is whether the poison being used is dangerous to the children or to others. But it would seem to me that their mother would have satisfied herself as to its safety and is in a good position to do so. Dickie wrote as follows, "We do not think our secret weapon for killing gophers should have to be registered because it's not on any of your lists and because it is made from chemicals that everybody's mom has in her kitchen. You have to know how to mix them and how to put the stuff in the gopher holes," unquote. And then he adds, "If we reveal our business secret, everyone will know how to kill gophers and we'll be out of business," unquote. The matter of making them take a test and get a license as exterminators does seem to be bureaucratic overkill. Right at this point, in preparing this broadcast, I received further news. I feel like I'm seeing a rerun of one of those old movies where the reporter grabs the phone and says, "Give me the city desk. I've got a story that'll crack this town wide open." You can, as the saying goes, fight City Hall. Right has triumphed. Faced with having to file a criminal complaint against these young people, the State Department of Agriculture has given in. Kidco will continue to eradicate gophers with its secret weapon, and hopefully the department will move on to more productive and useful tasks. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan, in his own voice, brought to you by K-Brush Concrete. Anything to do with concrete, from a 5x5 walkway to a 500,000-square-foot foundation. Call 423-4033.
Thank you. KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Welcome to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veeley. I am your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News. There is no paywall. And I haven't yet posted the story, but I'm going to tell you what happened today. For those who are watching, there is an election fraud case against Gaia Powell, a woman who ran for mayor of Arroyo Grande. They had their preliminary hearing. It got over about an hour ago. And the preliminary hearing did determine there was enough with the case to take it to trial. I will have a story up later today that you can go and read the different allegations from both sides. A lot of disagreement on what actually has happened. And also, Gaia Powell will be on the show next Wednesday. She'll be on the show. She's also a candidate for San Luis Obispo County Clerk Recorder. She will be talking also about her candidacy. But today, we're going to be talking a lot about Ukraine, a little bit about the Iran war, a little bit about Trump, a little bit about politics. We have two people on the show today that both have a background in in Ukraine. First of all, we have David Derringer. He is an attorney. He does wills and trusts. David married a woman from Ukraine years ago. They live on the Central Coast, but they visit Ukraine regularly. They also have family discussions with people in Ukraine weekly. He has some very strong views and a lot of inside knowledge about what is actually going on in Ukraine. Then we have Josh Friedman. Josh Friedman has done work with Cal Coast News on and off for how many years?
A long time.
Well over a decade. And
15 years or so.
And he is he's a journalist, a very good writer, very adept at what is going on internationally. He has covered international issues for multiple publications. He's been on major TV programs talking about major issues on the worldwide market. Name some of the shows that you've been on.
I haven't been on major TV shows. I've done a little correspondent work for I-24 News out of Israel, which I guess is controversial at the time, but I haven't covered anything related to the Middle East for them. I've done a little reporting on Ukraine and Armenia and Azerbaijan. That was toward the end of the 2020 war between Armenia and Azerbaijan over Nagorno-Karabakh, which incidentally was pretty much the introduction of drone warfare to the world. A lot of people have forgotten that, but drone warfare now seemingly is a hot topic, if not the hot topic globally.
Yes, it is. And you also, though, you did some pretty well-known podcaster shows in the past. Name some of the people you've been on some of those shows for.
Well, I've worked with Luke Radowski of We Are Change for a long time, but I've been on a variety of different podcasts and YouTube channels, alternative media shows over the years.
I know, I remember a couple big names, and I'm missing them right now. But also, Josh has regularly gone to Ukraine. He's gone to Russia. And
not during the war.
He hasn't been to Russia during the war.
And that was before. Well, I should say not. I haven't been there since the 2022 invasion.
And you also have when the war not long after the war against Russia and Ukraine started, Josh wanted to go in as a war correspondent. You still have a war correspondent pass today, correct?
Yeah, thanks to you. via Kalkos News.
Yeah, so he is.
So I need to get back there. I think that's the short of it, that I shouldn't be here in studio. I should be out somewhere where the drones are detonating, just not too close.
So he is planning on going back to Ukraine very shortly, but he's got a press pass as a war correspondent. He can go places other people cannot go, and he is planning on going back fairly soon. But you've been there about three times since the war started, correct?
No, I've been there more than that. I've been there, I think, for a total of about 6 months since the war started. Couple times I was there for one or two or even more than 2 months at a time. Most recently I was there in mid to late December. So it's been a few months since I've been there. Well, I didn't have to put up with the freezing cold temperatures, not only on the outside, but also on the inside of many apartment blocks in Ukraine, because I basically skipped a winter there.
I don't blame you. And David, we announced that you were going to be here. Can you tell us a little bit about what your business is before we get started?
Sure. Thank you. Thanks for inviting me. Is that good? Okay. Yeah, I do estate planning. Hopefully everybody knows that. And I do have a focus on estate planning for gun owners, so I offer a lot of free handgun training. And I was hoping to remind people of it. I've got a big class and a Tascadero I'm doing once a month, and that's coming up in April 17th.
And what do people learn at the class?
It's really a very unique format. It's very intense training for 4 hours on both advanced estate planning concepts that most people don't get at a typical estate planning seminar, and also advanced concealed carry drills, including a laser simulated range that I set up. So it's pretty good intense training for 4 hours.
And does that also help people that are trying to get a concealed carry weapon pass the test?
It's not an official statutory course. I used to teach those for the Orange County Sheriff before I moved up here, but those courses are pretty low level, actually. The drills that I do for free at my office and at this Atascadero event actually go way beyond what's normally covered in the statutory courses.
Very interesting. And as I think gun ownership and the people trying to get concealed carry with the new laws is at a different level than it used to be.
Yep.
So that's something I think a lot of people are interested in. Will you explain your connection? I did explain before you came on that you married a woman from Ukraine and that you regularly visit Ukraine and you talk to family members weekly. Will you tell us a little bit about your connection to Ukraine?
Okay, well, first of all, I really enjoy Josh's reporting. I've seen it on Kalkos News and I've heard you on the radio.
Thank you.
We got married back in 1996. We had a few years of dealing with INS before she got citizenship, so that was a struggle. But I made 5 trips there, I believe, total, but those were all prior to 2014. My wife and daughter went there a couple times after 2014. I think their last trip was 2019. But my daughter went there. She spent half of her life before school going back and forth with babushka every 6 months.
And what is babushka?
Grandma.
Babushka, grandmother.
Yeah. So, I mean, grandma had her green card and she had to go back. You know, she had to go back every 6 months. So My daughter's, you know, fluent in like at least, you know, Russian, Ukrainian, English, and I think Ukrainian Russian was her first language. But and then even after she started school, she went back there every summer. So, yeah, it's lots of connection there. But I have not been there since I think 2013 was my last trip. We're talking about going there later this year, possibly. We got our passports, and we're hoping Trump would end it soon. But, you know, maybe we can talk about that. I've got doubts that it's going to end anytime soon.
Where in Ukraine is your family from?
Dniprozhezhinsk is the Russian name, and they changed it to Kamyansk. It's about 20 minutes from Dnipropetrovsk, which is a big metropolis there in central Ukraine, central eastern Ukraine. It's on the Dnieper. So it's basically very close to the front, about an hour from the front, and it's the staging area for most of the, as I understand it, most of the medical care that soldiers on the front receive after they're pulled back from the front line. So it's definitely the next target. You know, if Zelensky is pushed to cede Donbass, and I don't think Trump is doing that really, but it would be horrible for their area, because that's just going to give Putler, I call him Putler, the high ground to get in rather very easily to Dnipro as the next step.
And I want to let people know, I'll let you both answer this. A lot of people in Ukraine do speak Russian. Josh, you were telling me it's less since the war, but it's kind of, you were studying Russian more than Ukraine for a while. Josh has been taking Russian lessons. Explain the language, because people say, why would you speak Russian if you live in Ukraine?
Well, Dnipro or Dnipropetrovsk, now it's just called Dnipro. That was a largely Russian-speaking city, as were most of the major cities in the south, the southeast, the east, the north, the northeast. So that involves a lot of... those are major population centers in Ukraine.
Several million.
Many of the biggest cities were predominantly Russian-speaking cities. Kharkiv is the second largest city, or people call it Kharkov in Russian. Predominantly Russian-speaking. Odessa, predominantly Russian-speaking. Pretty much everywhere in Donbass in the east, predominantly Russian-speaking. And I can't speak to what the situation is in all of these places right now, but from my experience in most of the predominantly Russian-speaking cities and areas, there's a slow, gradual shift taking place where some people have chosen the outright shift to speaking Ukrainian only. Many people are speaking what they call Surzhik, which is a combination of Russian and Ukrainian. Among older people, the shift is probably not happening so much, if at all. There are a lot of older people who don't speak Ukrainian at all, or just speak very little Ukrainian, although presumably they can all understand Ukrainian. But it seems like among young people, if they weren't already speaking Ukrainian as their native language to begin with, it seems like most young people are shifting over to predominantly speaking Ukrainian. But then there's the west of the country, and to some extent the center of the country, and smaller, lesser population areas where people were speaking Ukrainian as their native tongue to begin with.
Yeah, I largely concur with everything Josh said. My wife's family is Russian-speaking. They have family. Some family members are up in Russia, and we cheer every time Ariel gets a drone or missile. I actually met them on my first trip. But they are very patriotic Ukrainians. My father-in-law actually refused to ever join a union, so he's a little bit of a rebel. My mother-in-law was an official party member, but wasn't really a true believer. Her family was very plugged in to the establishment. But the language change, I believe that started gradually, as you said, since the 90s, just a gradual shift toward more Ukrainian, really accelerated rather quickly after 2014. So I don't think it's really a gradual shift anymore, but a lot of, like my wife's family, they still speak Russian at home. It's kind of a version of like Spanglish. I forget the term. I've never heard that, but that sounds right. Official language is being pushed toward Ukrainian, but that's just one of the many myths that just really grinds me. I'm no expert on foreign policy or Ukraine, but you know, just as someone with family there, watching the news round the clock for the last 4 years, seeing so-called experts on TV, or you know, they say, well, people in Ukraine speak Russian, so they want to be in Ukraine, and ironically, those are Americans saying that.
Speaking
English.
Speak Russian, so they want to be part of Russia as opposed to Ukraine.
Did I misspeak? Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah. They say on TV, because they speak Russian, they want to be part of Russia. But that's, that's as foolish as saying, you know, we speak English here in America, so we want to be part of England.
I agree with that. It's a huge misconception. But to me, the language shift accelerated post-2022, not back in 2014. But that aside, I agree. I started visiting Ukraine a little more than 12 years ago. And many times in the past, I remember speaking with native Russian speakers and asking them, have you been to Russia? Most of the time I'd hear no. It was very obvious that they were not pro-Russian. They're pro-Ukrainian. So over and over again, I heard, I'm Ukrainian, but I speak Russian, or I'm Ukrainian, but my native language is Russian. And that doesn't apply to the whole country.
Were you in Dnipro much? Or
I've been to Dnipro a couple times, but I've not spent a lot of time in the city. I was actually mean to go there and possibly do some reporting there last year, but I've not been there since 2022.
It's interesting you mentioned this language. It may be different regionally. Dnipro, I know, was a real center of the militia activity during 2014, and around that time period, Pravi Sektor, Dmitro Yarov, was a leader. He's actually from my wife's hometown.
Right, Sektor, a nationalist group.
Yeah, he's funded by Kolomoisky, who's now in prison. Kolomoisky also funded Zelensky initially, but that's he's in jail, but, you know, in quotes. Kolomoisky, I think, is a real hero that saved Ukraine in those years.
Very controversial figure, no doubt.
Right.
And his name isn't really referenced as much. It's not referenced that much nowadays. But, yeah, he was briefly the governor of the Dnipro Oblast, or region, basically like a state for us. And yeah, back then he funded a militia or paramilitary group that helped stop the Russian assault back then.
So maybe that language shift might have started a little bit, and maybe it started first in Dnipro, I don't know. But it seemed like 2014, according to my wife, that's when the language shift, at least in that area, started.
I'm not sure, although I was in Dnipro a couple times back then. I don't know if I told you about this, Karen, but once I briefly checked out from the outside the Yuzhmash factory, this old Soviet, I guess Ukraine had taken it over, this old Soviet defense factory where I guess they were manufacturing, I don't know, missile parts or whatever. I think there's a giant missile statue next to it. But at the time when I was there, there was this wild claim that was spreading that there were some, I think, missile parts being made there, then smuggled into Russia, then sent to Kim Jong-un's North Korea. And I never really got to the bottom of that, but I was looking into that briefly while I was passing through Dnipro, but that was probably 7 or 8 years ago.
Well, I was just going to say, it's definitely a world war. It's been a world war since Crimea was invaded, in my opinion.
We're going to take our a break, a word from our sponsors, and we'll be back with more with Josh Friedman and Dave Duerringer.
Usually a reviewer, but I had an amazing experience at Davis Body Shop. From start to finish, the experience was ideal. Everyone was friendly, helpful, and professional. They kept me updated, did quality work, and had me in and out. No hassles, and returned my vehicle to me in perfect condition.
If you ever have an accident and need to repair your car, you could do what Ann did from Paso Robles. She took her car to Davis Body Shop. And Peggy from Atascadero said,
our family needed repairs to one of our cars, and friends had recommended Davis Body Shop. We were very pleased with their helpfulness, their attention to detail that was provided to us. They explained the process and kept us updated as repairs were made. They also assisted us in securing a rental car. I would definitely recommend them to anyone who needs repairs to a car.
Davis Body Shop is the area's largest auto body collision specialist on El Camino Real at Atascadero and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
Junior, do you know why my TV is turned down so low? Last week, I went down to see Peter Lucier at Hearing Aid Specialists of the Central Coast. He's a nice young feller who tested my hearing. He had me try on these nearly invisible hearing aids. See? They ain't got no buttons or nothing. By gum, I hear like I'm 29 years old. Call Peter at Hearing Aid Specialists. Dial 805-460-7385. Or use your smartphone and go to slowcountyhearingaids.com.
When it comes to sustainable energy systems and service, Central Coast residents trust Solarponics. Marilyn from Templeton says, quote, Solarponics installed our system almost 20 years ago. There are occasions when your system needs to be serviced. With Solarponics, work is completed quickly with knowledge and skill. This is as important a part of a solar company as the original installation. Thank you, Marilyn, for your Google review. When we install a sustainable energy system, we're installing a lifetime of as important service. Don't just go solar, go Solarponics. Solarponics.com.
Attention Central Coast homeowners. Is your water heater over 7 years old? If so, replace it with a heat pump water heater before it fails and save thousands in energy costs. Plus, new rebates cover up to 80% of the cost. Call or click to get a free, no-hassle quote today. Don't just go solar, go Solarponics. Solarponics.com.
Savage Spirits and Deli on 21st and Spring wants every military person to know that you get a discount at their store. They appreciate your service and our freedom. Savage is home to the Bearcat Sandwich, the Boys in Blue, and the mouth-watering fresh barbecued tri-tip every day. Be sure to ask for your discount for active military and veterans. Savage Spirits and Deli on the corner of 21st and Spring in Paso Robles.
Hi, this is Chris from We Help You Legal. Legal documents should be simple and affordable. At We Help You Legal, there are no lawyers and no high costs. Just certified experts to assist you with living trusts, wills, divorce matters, corporations, and LLCs.
Hi, I'm Christina. We also offer notary services. You can find us online at wehelpyoulegal.com or call 805-237-7770.
We Help You Legal, your Central Coast legal document company.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vealey, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. Today I have journalist Josh Friedman and attorney Dave Duerringer on the show. We're talking about issues in Ukraine. And at the top of the break, Josh, he brought up World War.
Well, Dave brought it up. And yes. I'd like to hear your thoughts on it, Dave. But I can say first, from my experience over the past several years, having traveled a lot in and out of Ukraine, having visited Turkey a lot, not that Turkey's a major party in any of the or a party to any of the major wars going on right now, but having traveled all over the world, but particularly in and out of the Middle East and Ukraine, it's really felt like a World War III type of scenario or setting to me for a couple years. I'd say that really for me dates back to October 7th. Not that I was in Israel at the time. I haven't even been in Israel recently. I'd like to visit, but yeah, it's whereas just from my personal experiences and senses early on in the war in Ukraine since the 2022 invasion, early on at that point, it felt somewhat isolated. But now the connections are obvious. Ukraine's got a role with Israel, U.S., Iran, and Russia's got a role on the other side of it. And all over the place, at least in certain regions, to me, there's that World War III type of feeling. But I'd like to hear what your thoughts are, Dave.
Well, yeah, definitely. I think we're on the same page there. Exactly. I mean, the minute we witnessed that debacle in Afghanistan under Biden, we immediately recognized, both my wife and I recognized what would happen in Ukraine. I mean, it's been predicted for a long time. Aristovich made a video back in 2019, but we knew what would happen at that point. And it happened, you know. So it's definitely a world war. You know, North Koreans are fighting in Ukraine. Just the story today, Kadyrovsky from Chechnya, they're getting ready to join the fight in Iran. Wow. They've been fighting in Ukraine, of course, but it's not just Ukraine now, it's Iran, and you got Russia helping Iran with intelligence, targeting, even some missile production. Now that Iran is losing theirs. Iran gave them the Shahed design, of course, that you know, Russia's improved. So, you know, China has been backing Russia, you know, kind of surreptitiously, for the most part. I don't know how anyone could say it's not a world war. I'm a Reaganite, peace through strength. That's the GOP I remember. When I go to a local GOP meeting and I see all this anti-Ukraine bigotry, to me, it's an anti-life attitude. Genocide is an important evil to prevent, and I just don't understand why my fellow Republicans... The younger ones, it seems like they've been convinced that, you know, they're going to die in World War III if we help Ukraine. I don't understand the logic there. Ukraine is the only country that's spending its blood in this world war. Other countries are spending a lot of money. Now, as of last year, June of 2025, Europe is spending more on military aid than the U.S. So there's a lot of misinformation about that. And the whole expenditure is just a drop in the bucket compared to other things we spend on. So we're actually getting a great deal. Ukraine is fighting this war for us, for the West. And while we're griping about spending a few pennies to help them, you know, fight for us. I could keep talking if you...
I've seen a bunch of Colombians in Ukraine.
Exactly, there, yeah.
Cubans. Well, I don't know if we have time. Well, I don't know if we have time to get to it.
We're going to have to take our top of the hour break. When we're going to come back, we're going to start with what other countries have people fighting in Ukraine.
The short of it is many.
Yeah.
AM 1230 KPRL 99.3 FM KPRL.com Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.